Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is Monday, March 14th, and the first day in whoever knows how long without any basketball games. It is the day after Selection Sunday. The NCAA Tournament First Four starts tomorrow, and we're here at Hoops HD to go over everything and anything about what the committee did and who's going to win the national championship. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. Up here, we got David Dorman, John Tytel. In the center square, we got John Salika. To his sides, David Griggs and Joby Fortson. And the black box down below there is Zach back with us for the first time in a while.
Zach! All right. The lights are out at his house.
The lights are clearly out. He must be in the puppet bunker also.
Yeah. Yes, I am coming. I am the selection committee for the ACA. We are at a constant undisclosed location.
Yes.
To avoid any sort of interference from our holy affairs.
Let's start with what the committee did, though. Tytel, you are the bracket guessing expert, and you once again crushed it in the bracket matrix, finishing easily in the top 10%, top 5%, I think. And so I want to ask you your thoughts about what the actual committee did compared to what you thought they should have done.
I appreciate the kind words, as always. Mm-hmm. I thought they got it mostly right. I mean, the one I missed was I had Texas A&M instead of some team from Piscataway, which obviously I learned my lesson the hard way, Chad. I was fortunate that I didn't miss anyone by more than one seed, which I think is partial credit to the bracket matrix for having a pretty good crowdsourcing experiment that works, and for the committee for not like having anybody go drastically up or down. Certainly some small things we can argue with here and there, as we will, but I am not too unhappy about the whole process.
You got them all within one seed line?
Yes. I'm the only one to do it, but yes.
John, how is it you're not making six figures working for CBS?
I enjoy doing it for free with you guys.
Oh, well, and you absolutely crush guys like Lenardi and Jerry Palm and like that. And Joby, you're J&G, the number one computer metric. Were you number one again?
I'm looking through to make sure no computer metric I'm not familiar with beat me, and I'm down. I've got about 60 to 70 brackets ahead of me, and none are a computer. It's people like Mr. Tytel and Rocco Miller, another contributor to the show, that are ahead of me. I also was ahead of Lenardi and Palm, by the way. A computer.
And you use a computer.
A purely computer. I knew when I submitted this to Bracket Matrix that Norfolk State was going to get a 16, not a 14, but I am following the computer, which says that they were a 14. That alone, because that kicked St. Peter's down to a 16, that move alone cost me 7 points. Okay, that one move cost me 7 points. If I had just physically gone, I will take Norfolk State, make them on the 16 line, but I don't. That would undermine the entire credibility of what I'm trying to do, which is show a computer, purely math-based computer component. I'm proud that it was in the top half, and because there are some obvious ones that anybody can come along. Though we will go over the one miss I had was I did not miss the team from Piscataway. I missed, ironically, my ACC brethren from South Bend. But for the exact same reason John Tytel did, Texas A&M.
Yeah, and Dorman, let me ask you about the Texas A&M, because that's probably the one team that most people missed on if they had a team in that did not make it. Do you think the committee messed up by leaving A&M out?
That was the one. Yes, probably. I had them in. I don't think the committee put enough into the conference tournament of the SEC, or maybe even most of them over the weekend, because the way they were playing, A&M definitely looked like a tournament team and deserved the bid. So, yes, I think the committee got that one wrong.
Yes, Zach, the last four teams in were Wyoming, Rutgers, Indiana, Notre Dame, in that order. The top four out were Dayton, Oklahoma, SMU, A&M, in that order. A&M wasn't even close. They had three other teams to vault.
Yeah, I think what we learned is that it's the Sunday tournament games that really, either depending on how you interpret this, either aren't factored in or are undervalued for whatever reason. I was shocked to see A&M was that far out. The only thing that shocked me more was Dayton is the first team out. And the fact is, if not for a Richmond upset in the A-10 title game, we would have had an absolute stunning left field member of this field that I know that before it had fully updated bracket matrix of 100 brackets, only two had Dayton in, which would have been pretty amazing to have to. I think it would have been as much of a shock to Anthony Grant as anybody else.
Yeah, the thing about A&M and the Sunday games, to kind of build on what you said, we've been told by multiple committee members over and over again that conference tournaments are measured the same way as games in November, as conference games, as non-conference games, like they're each one unit. And my response to that is I have a hard time believing, I'm not saying that they're wrong, but the way it feels is that had A&M beaten Auburn during the regular season, they would have been in. And if what they say is true, then why weren't they given more credit or enough credit for beating Auburn in the conference tournament? Now, maybe they were. I don't know where they had A&M. A lot of prognosticators look at Tennessee and say, well, they didn't move Tennessee up. You don't know they didn't move Tennessee up. They could have had Tennessee on the five line for all we know. They could have had A&M way, way out, and that got them up. But it just felt like, whether it was the reality or not, it felt like the conference tournaments were undervalued, which was a little surprising because we were specifically told that they would not be. Were we not, Chad?
Well, yeah, we're told that they count the same as any regular season game. Yeah. I think there was an argument here that maybe the conference tournaments seemed to count a little bit less. Yeah. Although you then look at teams that had losses in the conference tournament that maybe fell a bit. Notre Dame, it was a team that everyone thought was squarely in, for example, Stalika. They barely made the field. Had A&M won the SEC title game, Notre Dame would not have been in this field.
Well, that was one way to look at it. And then you look at Virginia Tech. They would not have been in the tournament either had they not beaten Duke in the final. Although I am going to say this to people that are crying over Texas A&M. They might want to take a page out of what the ACC and Big 12 did. Move your title game to Saturday so you get the eyeballs necessary from the committee. I know a conference like the A-10 wants to have it on Sunday because they will get the maximum exposure.
Every time this comes up, and I believe them, I do, even though there's a lot of evidence to suggest that maybe they don't, they swear that they factor in the Sunday games, that there's contingency brackets, that they've submitted as many as 8 brackets in the past to the network, and they factor in all possibilities. Now, there are years where those Sunday games are looked at the way that we did, and we just didn't feel that the Big Ten and the A-10 changed the complexion of either profile, regardless of the outcome. But we did consider them. We did talk about them. And granted, we're not a real committee. We're a mock committee. But I do believe them when they say they look at them and consider them.
I would tell you that something, Joby, let me ask you this. If you're really A&M, you really want to be the tournament, how about not having an 8-game losing streak in the middle of the season?
Yeah. Well, but still, they had a long winning streak to end, you know. So I do think A&M was unfairly treated. But think about our own mock committee. If we didn't have day jobs and all that stuff, the longest day we hit the ground running the hardest at the most important component of the bracket is Friday. I truly believe views on teams, whether contingency brackets or not, views on teams get hardened Thursday and Friday. So even the Saturday games, but at least the semifinal games do, I think Saturday and Sunday games, and I might add in the J&G, I have already downgraded Saturday games, and the J&G does not even look at the Sunday games, except to the extent if there is a champion like a Richmond. Richmond was taken to advantage, but Tennessee, Texas A&M wasn't even considered as part of my mathematical formula.
I'll tell you what
I have seen over the years on this, and it's played itself out.
So we could do like an hour on this, but I want to get to the actual bracket itself here. What I'm going to do is pull the bracket up on the screen. We're going to just do one quadrant at a time or one region at a time. If I did things right, we should see the West region focused in here. And what I'd like to do is, for the rest of the show, for the next section of the show at least, is go through all these games and tell everybody who's going to win so that we can create a bracket here that you could all submit and win the $300 million prize for the perfect bracket, because this is going to be it, right?
Of course.
But let's start Tytel, let me start with you in the top left here. The first four games that are going to be in Portland there, Gonzaga, Georgia State, Boise State, and Memphis. I assume you're picking Gonzaga to win there, but if you're not, let me know. And what do you think about that Boise State-Memphis game?
I'm just going to put a G there, and hopefully people will figure it out. As far as the Boise game, interesting matchup. I certainly would give the coaching edge to Leon Rice. He's been doing this a lot longer than Penny has, although the Tigers are certainly doing well late in the season and almost won the conference championship over Houston. The fact that I think I might just go with geography and go with Boise and Portland.
All right. And what about going on the second round here? Let's fill us just a little bracket here. What about, did the Boise have any shot against the Zags in the second round?
If St. Mary's could beat them, I guess they have a shot. I just don't think they do, so I'll go with the Bulldogs. And by the way, Chad, if somebody wants to find a copy of the bracket, where on the internet should they look for it?
They should just go to hoopshd.com. That's the only place. Look right up there. There is a tab we put up this morning with the bracket. You can print this out. You can submit this to all your brackets that you submit to, because any other brackets you see out there are incorrect. We have the correct teams.
It gets even better, Chad. Say you want to print out two or three brackets, like you want one for yourself and maybe for your wife or your friends. Can you do that? You're not limited to just one.
Yeah, but you do have to send us $1 for each extra one.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Go ahead, Dorby.
Interesting little note. If Boise State plays Gonzaga, Coach Rice was on the Gonzaga bench under Mark Few for 11 years.
Oh, yes, he was. Yes, he was. And he's done very well at Boise State. A little bit of Mark Few coaching tree going on there.
It may be biased for me to go this way, but Zach, you are a UConn guy. They are in Buffalo playing New Mexico State, Arkansas, Vermont there as well. You want to tell everybody about this UConn-New Mexico State game, at least?
New Mexico State's a very strong team. It's a bad matchup for them, and that UConn does all the – they're very similar teams in terms of styles. UConn just does all of it at a much higher level. So to your shock and amazement, I will be taking Connecticut in this game. And in the other one, the 4-13, I think it's going to be a tough game, the UConn-New Mexico State game, but I think Arkansas-Vermont, we might – this does have a little bit of a whiff of an upset potential. Trying to buy into it. I'm very close to wanting. I'm unsure on this one. I'm going to just say to hell with it and go with Vermont. And
good,
you can
pick.
Call me biased there. Vermont is a team that absolutely no team looked more impressive in tournament week than the Vermont Catamounts did. They destroyed the American East tournament, other than maybe Tennessee and the SEC, which is obviously a higher level. This is a very good Vermont team. They've never had high end talent like they do on this team in terms of athleticism. I think they match up very well with an Arkansas team that we've seen can run very hot and cold.
Love the pick. Do you think they could take it one more round and knock off your Huskies?
No. Can they? Yes. In this matchup of Yankee a classic Yankee conference matchup. I am going to be a complete homer and pick UConn for only one more win. Because Gonzaga is too much for UConn. I don't know if you wanted me to take that one.
We'll get to the regional finals here after we get the first two rounds filled out.
Add a quick thought here. If this were a classic Yankee conference matchup, why is it not being played in the Worcester Centrum?
I agree. The DCU Center is very, very available, as is the Mass Mutual Center. Those are both neutral courts.
Zach, can I ask you this? Will UConn win by 5 points or less? Because it seems like New Mexico State always loses a close game.
Yeah, I think UConn will beat New Mexico State, but it would not shock me in the least if it is a close game. I would once again implore, you do not want to bet on a UConn game. They have had, they've been killing people who bet their lines the last month and a half with some of the last minute, we'll say, decisions.
Dorman, the games in San Diego. Well, let's start even with the first four game here. The Rutgers-Notre Dame game coming up Wednesday night, which my Scarlet Knights, I like us against the Irish. I think it's a real good matchup for Rutgers, all things considered. But what do you think about that game, first of all? And then how about the winner going up against Alabama and the Texas Tech-Montana State game?
I'm with you on Rutgers. I think they match up really well. They're much more athletic than Notre Dame. They're going to get up and down. I think Notre Dame, unless they're red hot, is going to be in for a long night. So I do see your Scarlet Knights moving on to take on Alabama.
I like the pick, too.
How about another game? Do you think they could take down the Tide?
We all know, everyone, we've said it all year long, Alabama, when they're good, they're good. When they're bad, they are bad, and they can be bad. They didn't look great over the weekend. I think they can. I like Rutgers to win again over Alabama.
So far, every game that has been picked is what I would put in my own personal bracket. I just want you to know.
I'll put the RU / Notre Dame for people that fill out brackets. That's what you're only going to be picking, but we do like Rutgers there. Griggs, you want to finish off this? How about the Texas Tech-Montana State game, and then who wins that second round matchup?
Yeah, Montana State, really impressive year, really impressive in the Big Sky tournament, really impressive, especially in the second half of Big Sky play. They will not beat Texas Tech.
How about Texas Tech versus the winner of the Rutgers-Notre Dame game?
It will be Texas Tech.
I think you're right there. That's.
But I do think it will be Rutgers in the round of 32, Chad, to which it's that's still a great year for a program that's, I think, trending up and going to be even better next year. I don't like that your team is good because I don't like you, but I do think they'll be good.
Joby, I know you love the Dukies, so let me give you the Michigan State Davis
at Duke. They deserve the 2 seed. Let's start with the – all right, Duke will beat Cal State Fullerton. Just go ahead and put that one down. That's not exciting. And, yes, I am putting Cal State of Fullerton aside, knowing that Lehigh and others have pulled similar upsets. I don't think this Fullerton team can do what those other teams do. I don't think it's – the Fullerton team, great run, but they aren't that disciplined team that you need to beat Duke. That's how you beat Duke, is with their one-and-dones showing a disciplined play. I don't see Fullerton – bringing it that much to the fore. However, Michigan State and Davidson, what are those two teams have got? Ooh, discipline, style of play, hint, hint. Izzo loves being a 7. If it was a 5-12 with Davidson, I'd probably go Davidson, as funny as this sounds. But it's just Izzo time, I feel. And while they weren't just amazing in the Big Ten tournament, they're lying in the weeds. And they're ready. And I think they will upset Duke in the next round. I think Izzo will put, and Kay will not. That will be Kay's final game. That, and I might add, if Davidson upsets Michigan State, which I think is entirely possible if Davidson's hot from the outside, I would go with the in-state rival that Davidson would win. And by the way, if it is Davidson, the crowd in Greenville, South Carolina will be extremely one-sided. It will be ridiculously Davidson heavy. So that is one element. Either this team, if you're filling out a bracket, that's whoever you honestly believe wins that 7-10 game, I feel strongly will be in a pretty good position to advance to the second weekend.
Michigan State is going to the Final Four. That's just what they do when they're a 7 seed.
I just can't believe they didn't put Duke in the Chicago Regional. I mean, David, they asked.
Stalika, we've got as our regional semifinals here Gonzaga, UConn, Michigan State, Texas Tech. I know you may not personally agree with this, but assuming this is where we are, where would you go with these two games?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't be leaving my heart in San Francisco for these four teams right here. I mean, Gonzaga, they've probably been a little more proven in March over the past couple of years as compared to UConn, so I would take them in a close one right here. And Texas Tech, they seem to be playing with the house money as far as familiarity with teams in the Big 12. I'm not so sure they're going to be familiar with a team like Michigan State, that, as we've noted, seems to be made for a game like this. So I'm going to go Texas Tech in this one and Gonzaga to get their revenge against Tech.
You're picking against 7th-seeded Michigan State. I just want you to realize what you're doing here. You don't do that before the Final Four.
So, Sleeka, you are taking the Zags to come out of this region then over Texas Tech.
Correct.
Let's go on down and take a closer look now at the East region. The 1 seed there, Baylor, Norfolk State. Zach, let me go back to you for the Fort Worth games here. Baylor, Norfolk State, North Carolina, Marquette.
While Norfolk State has authored one of the great upsets in the history of the tournament, this will not be one of them. So I'm gonna go on a limb and take Baylor. The other game I think is really interesting. I've been down on this Carolina team all year. They have looked impressive at times, and at other times they've looked like an NIT team. This I think is going to be a very exciting game. It's very hard for me to pick either way. I'm going to go with Marquette though. I mean, it's been a great year under Shaka Smart, but also I think I've seen just enough of them lately. I've seen a little more consistency from Marquette recently. I just don't trust this Carolina team. I don't know which team's going to show up, and I'm going to go with the experienced hand of Shaka Smart in that one.
Do you think they can take down Baylor also?
It might be three OTs. No, see, I think Marquette, I will say this, Shaka Smart, of course, has experience from his time at Texas scouting this Baylor team, but I don't think they have nearly the horses to handle this Baylor team. So I would take Baylor in the second round.
Tytel, out in Portland, we've got, first of all, let's talk a little bit about that Wyoming-Indiana first four game coming up Tuesday night here, and then about St. Mary's, UCLA, and Akron as well. Your thoughts? We have you, Tytel.
Testing. So Indiana has certainly looked great this past week, whereas Wyoming, a lot of people slid off their bubble. So just based on pure momentum, I think I'll go with the Hoosiers, even though you know my disdain for first-year coaches like Mike Woodson. That being said, there's always a 12-5 upset. I just don't think it's this one because you have two teams in the 12 who were literally on life support a week ago. And the Gales just seemed, with the win over Gonzaga, even though they couldn't get it done in the conference tourney. As far as the other one, Akron kind of snuck in after some video surfaced that we are not allowed to share on this family program. So I think the Bruins do it. And then we get a nice little 4-5 matchup from some West Coast teams out on the West Coast.
We're a family program?
Do you have a pick in that?
Very dysfunctional family.
Golly, heck, nobody told me.
Do you have a pick of that UCLA St. Mary's game, Tytel?
I'm going to go with St. Mary's. I would not be surprised. Nice. Beat my Wildcats. So they are certainly capable, and they bring back a lot of guys from last year's Final Four team. But the Gales just seemed – I mean, I saw that Gonzaga game. I understand it was on the road, but like there just seems like there's something special about this team with Randy Bennett.
That's a great game if the chalk holds. That's a great game, St. Mary's UCLA game.
Salika, how about these Texas Tech, Virginia Tech, Purdue, Yale games in Milwaukee?
And before we go on, I'd like to applaud Tytel for realizing that Mick Cronin will probably remember he'll be Mick Cronin and go out in round two. But as far as these rounds right here, we've noticed an interesting trend, I guess, for the past five Big Ten championship winners as far as the tournament. They tended to have early exits right here. While I think Purdue can probably survive against Yale in round one, Iowa. But yeah. Still, I think Purdue is another team that's had to go through a gauntlet of three games in 3 days. I could probably see them going through a similar phase right here. And I'll take Texas to upset the Boilermakers here.
You could take Texas to beat Vatek and Purdue. Sure.
Plausible.
Oswald, Joby, how about the games in Indianapolis? Murray State, San Francisco, a team that actually sweated out the last pick there. We didn't know if the 10 seed would be A&M or San Francisco was the very last team announced.
A&M could be a 10 seed. That's how bad we missed A&M.
Well, we didn't because they hadn't called Kentucky's name yet, so we knew it wasn't going to be A&M.
True.
Murray State's been, just solid all year long. Did they get bored in the bottom half of the OVC? Maybe, but the fact is Belmont and to a lesser extent Morehead State are both solid teams. And Murray State continue to win even when they weren't at their best. The Dons, they played in a tougher conference in the WCC, but actually don't have as many scalps as you think they would. I like Murray State here.
How about Kentucky, that in-state rivalry there, Kentucky? How about that?
I think it's going to be Murray State, Kentucky, and that is an outstanding matchup that for the state of Kentucky right there that will be intense. Murray State would love nothing more, but as long as Kentucky isn't hit, as long as they hit more than two from the 3-point line. the inside Tshiebwe, I think they just overwhelm. Murray State gives all the effort. It's going to be close, if not a lead by Murray State into half, but then the second half will be owned by Kentucky. I think Kentucky's even strong enough defensively and Cal has them playing pretty solidly, even in close games. I will say as a note, I am sad that Stalica eliminated my preview national champion in the second round.
I'll tell you what. Yeah, Kentucky, absolutely. I absolutely agree, though. You got to be better than 2 for 20 from three. You got to get more than one bench point, and you got to keep Tshiebwe out of foul trouble, which is what cost them the SEC tournament.
Yeah, I mean, they would. If any of three,
and they
of
still
those,
were in the game. Amazing.
Yeah, if any three of those go the different way, if any three of those, Kentucky is still playing.
Dorman, I want to go to you.
Just real quick, Murray State, Kentucky, when you look at the history that these two teams have together being in the same state, Kentucky's never beaten Murray.
They've never played them either, have they?
They've never played. They've never played.
Dorman, how about any other comments you have? And as well as I want to ask you about the East Regional Finals as we've proposed them here.
I do. I'll give a quick comment here. I really was excited before the selection show to see where they were going to put two teams I was really looking forward to moving on in my bracket. And then they put Murray State and San Francisco against each other. I know the WCC is not an under the radar conference anymore because of Gonzaga, but two teams that were really great this year in all intents and purposes under the radar, Murray State and San Francisco. They could have slid that 7-10 game in the Midwest and given a power team to each of them and let them beat up on the power boys, and they both would have won.
Yeah, to the committee on that, I've got to say.
What were the other 10s or 7? Like,
Midwest. It did work. In the Midwest, the 7-10 game was USC and Miami. They could have moved USC over and put Murray back against Miami, and SC would have played San Francisco. Would have worked everywhere.
That would have been a bad brother see.
Dorman, what about these Baylor, St. Mary's, Texas, Kentucky games that we have proposed, that is proposed right now? Again, that may not be your personal picks, but if these happen, where would you be going?
They actually do happen to be my personal picks. And I think St. Mary's is on a magical year. And I think it continues. I think Baylor can be beaten with discipline, hard, tough defense. And if they just get such great shots in the lane, St. Mary's, and they work it so well. They make you play defense for the entire 30 seconds. If Baylor falls asleep for a few minutes here and there, St. Mary's going to be shooting layups. I can see Baylor getting knocked off here.
All right, Griggs, how about the Texas-Kentucky game?
Just like Kentucky. Again, like, you got to keep in mind, everybody pointed out how much things were going against them and how bad of a game that they did. But with three, like, major forces working against them and playing a really good Tennessee team, they still were in the game. Most of the nights, on any given night, that you can have a bad night, but to have a bad night and still almost win the game, imagine had they had an average night, they would have won the game. I think Kentucky wins against Texas, and are you asking me for the next one? I think they go into the Final Four.
Okay, so you have them over St. Mary's too. I think. Yeah, I actually like that pick, believe it or not. Let's slide over though here to the Midwest region. Joby, let me start with you here in Fort Worth. Let's throw it out there real quick. Texas Southern, Texas A&M, Corpus Christi. Any preview for this game in the first four?
I'm going to just say the battle of the Texas. I actually think Texas A&M, Corpus Christi is the worst team in the 64-68 team field. Texas Southern does have the scalp against Florida. And so I'm just going to go Texas Southern in that particular
way. They are noticeably better.
Joby, how about, I assume you have Kansas winning.
They are not going to pull a UMBC.
But what about State. San Diego State, Creighton, and then the winner against Kansas?
I think San Diego State was actually, this is one of the teams the Mountain West didn't get enough respect in regards to Boise, but because I thought Boise should have been higher than the 8 they got. But I do like the fact that the committee let San Diego State, by all intents and purposes, this is a team that had to climb their way in February into the field, and they made it all the way to wearing white. They're playing really well. They barely lost against Boise in the conference final. And they're playing San Diego State basketball. Creighton, hey, congratulations, Creighton. Creighton likewise had to come and play their way in. But I just think San Diego State's playing with an edge right now, and thus I will go with the Aztecs in that.
Do you think they could beat Kansas also?
No.
Okay. I didn't think so.
I mean, we got to be real here. But can they? Sure. I think they can rock fight for a little while, but Kansas actually has some guys, like McCormick, who can probably stand up in a rock fight just fine, and then the greater talent that comes in will come to play for Kansas.
Well, Joby, you're mentioning rock fights here among San Diego State. What's San Diego State and Creighton going to be? Boulders?
Yes. As evidenced by the Creighton-Villanova, what was the score at halftime?
18-17,
yeah. Yeah, 18-17, you know, I mean.
Or 19-18, maybe.
I got to say, I'm a little surprised at how little respect Creighton is getting from seemingly everyone. I know that they had the injury, but they certainly played well without him, minus the first half against Villanova. Yeah. But, I know that this is very, very odd to hear me say about Creighton, but they've actually played well down the stretch.
And that's my point. They actually have. You're right, David. They have played well down the stretch. I just think they're playing against a team that I wouldn't want to mess with right now. This isn't, if you look at the other eights, like, some teams that are floating along, not Boise, but some of the other eights, this is the wrong eight to play, especially if you're missing some guard play, because that length will make it tough on every possession. Is going to be dentist office tough, for Creighton.
I've got to move on here to the Buffalo region, and I normally try to let this show go, but every now and then I maybe influence things a little bit with my choices. Zach, I love the South Dakota State team, so I'm going to go to you for the Buffalo region picks. Zach.
I might be a little biased. Let's start with the undercard, so to speak. An amazing job by Chris Mooney and Richmond to get the A-10 title there. But I think Iowa is a little underseeded here. A lot of people have said that. I think Iowa wins that game. Chad, I will attempt to remove the red, although I don't see what's necessary, because I'm covering up a team that is overseeded by about five lines. South Dakota State will beat Providence. South Dakota State is not a fraud like Providence, who is a fraud and is trash and is not good. And Nate Watson will be spending too much time Instagram modeling, on the streets of Buffalo by the Harbor Center to be prepared for this game. South Dakota State, in all honesty, is also a very strong team, and it's a bad matchup for a Providence team who comes into the tournament having lost two of three, and one of them by embarrassing fashion in the Big East tournament. I think the clock struck midnight on the Friars about a week and a half ago. So I am very easily and confidently taking South Dakota State.
Will you take the Jackrabbits one more over the Hawkeyes? Salika told us about the curse of the Big Ten tournament champions.
I agree with him. I'm very respectful of the hex and the curse and everything. I just think very highly of this Iowa team. I think they will get past the Jackrabbits, who also will not be prepared to face a team at as high of a level as Iowa, having played a low-level team in their first-round matchup.
All right, let's go on to
threes
the games.
Out the wazoo in that game, though. Wow. Man, a lot of threes.
Yeah, it will be entertaining.
Tytel, how about the games in Milwaukee? LSU, Iowa State, Wisconsin, Colgate.
So I just got to interview Colgate's Ryan Moffitt about this earlier, the home court disadvantage his team will have in Milwaukee. And he had all the nice right things to say about the Badgers. And while I love my Penn alum, Matt Langel, the coach, I just don't think that they can get it done. Plus, my brother-in-law is a Badger alum. As far as the 6-11 game, I don't like either of the teams. I really don't like it. Makes a coaching change right before the NCAA tournament. So just on principle alone, I'm going with the Cyclones.
Good pick.
I think makes a coaching change is one way you could describe it.
Dorman, what do you think about if Iowa State and Wisconsin meet in the second round? Where would you be going on that one?
I would go Wisconsin. I think Davis can score. I don't think Iowa State has that type of score or firepower offensively. If it's a Wisconsin, either way, actually, I don't like. I'm with Tytel. LSU and Iowa State, both very cold. If either of them play Wisconsin, I like the Badgers to move on here.
All right, let's go here. Griggs, USC, Miami, Auburn, Jacksonville State, and Greenville. What are your thoughts on these games?
My thoughts are that I like Miami and have for most of the season more than most people. So I would take them over USC. I think Auburn walks into the round of 32. Sometimes in these 116, 215 games, a team gets hot and makes it a game for a half. I don't think this will be a game up until after the under 16 timeout. But in the round of 32, I'm taking the Canes.
Really?
Yeah. Like Auburn, they just seem to not be playing. It just, I like Jim Larrañaga as a bench coach. I think they're going to come in really loose. Not that Bruce Pearl is a bad bench coach at all. I just kind of get the sense with the way they've sort of looked in the latter part of the season. Miami, a lot of people, I know they didn't win the game, but they were right in there in the ACC tournament. I just think that they've kind of been overlooked, and people don't realize just how good this Miami team is. And I don't think they go any further, but I do think they get by Auburn.
You don't think they go any further? Slick, do you agree that they don't go any further than that they lose to Wisconsin if they get this far?
Probably, but we also, Miami also has a player in Charlie Moore who was hiding out in the witness protection program at DePaul prior to his Miami stint right here.
And how about Kansas-Iowa, Stalika? Do you think the Hawkeyes could upset the Jayhawks?
They'll at least have a little bit of rest, but I don't see Kansas getting knocked off right here.
All right, so that would put Kansas and Wisconsin in our final. Dorman, let me go back to you. If it is KU and the Badgers, are you going rock chalk?
I am. I think Kansas is a touch better than Wisconsin. I also think this is the easiest region of the four.
So you think Kansas actually has an easy road to the Final Four?
I think Kansas has the easiest road of all the one seeds in this region. Yeah, in the Midwest, to me, isn't as strong as the other three.
All right, let's go up one more region. It's the South region. Bring it up here. And Tytel, you're going to be in San Diego. You're at Arizona at the games. You're not going to see the Wright State Bryant game, so I'll get your quick thoughts on that one. And then how about the both Arizona's first and second round games here?
The quick thought is that the horrific display from the NEC title game between Wagner and Bryant in the crowd makes me think that even if Bryant is the better team, which I think they are, I am going to again go on principle and go with Wright State to win that and then lose by a lot to my Wildcats. The 8-9 game, I think, is a huge toss-up, as both teams have been up and down all year. I'll go with TCU only because my recollection of Jamie Dixon is that he does very well in the first round and then very not well after that.
That is correct.
Joby, how about the games at Pittsburgh, Houston, UAB, and Illinois? And I know a lot of people are on the Nuga bandwagon, and I might be also, but I want to get your thoughts on it.
All right. It was mentioned earlier. This isn't the 5-12. You're right. That game was not the 5-12 upset. This is the 5-12 upset. I mean, this screams it, people.
Yeah.
UAB is a good team if you don't know much about them. They are very worthy of their 12 seed, as in the top of the under-radar league's placement. Houston is, well, not as good as a 5. Our mock committee for a reason had them in the mid-tier seeds. That's because we know basketball.
Yeah.
And I love what Samson actually has done, given he has a completely new starting lineup than he did at the beginning of the year. I give him credit for that. But UAB, great matchup. Congratulations. It's the right 12 versus the right 5.
Yeah, and Joby, to build on that real quick, I just think from a X's and O's standpoint, it's like if you look at the tactics, I could see UAB's pressure defense really, really frustrating Houston.
That's an excellent point. And now Houston's got that length, even with the injuries. But UAB, it's not like CSA is not, you know, without other teams of talent. North Texas is real. And that's, so this is not like UAB hasn't been recently tested to a degree. The other game, Chattanooga, talk about underappreciated leagues. Chattanooga in the SoCon is extremely underappreciated, but unfortunately, I don't think this is the right SoCon team. I don't think they're that team that won and earned their bid over a better conference. Illinois did the job, winning the regular season Big Ten title there. Do you think anyone on Chattanooga is going to be able to handle Cokeburn? I mean, seriously. I mean, they just are not going to be able to. And so Illinois, I think, will win this game more comfortably than maybe on paper it looks.
Dorman, let me go to you here. You're also an Arizona guy, so let me give you both second-round games here. Arizona, TCU, UAB, Illinois. What are your thoughts on these two?
I don't think TCU has enough down low defensively to slow down Arizona. Arizona should be able to dominate the boards and get out and run and just overpower and outscore TCU. I see Arizona moving on there. UAB, Illinois, this is a good game because I agree with Joby 100%. UAB is a very good basketball team coached by Kennedy. They do a lot well. Having said that, if Illinois can knock down the outside shots, the inside presence of Kofi Coburn, senior laden guards, I like Illinois to beat UAB.
All right. Let's see. Sleeka, how about the games in Indianapolis? Colorado State, Michigan, and Tennessee against those Longwood Lancers making their first ever NCAA tournament appearance.
I think one of the biggest surprises we had in our committee, we were probably expecting to see Boise State potentially get up as high as six, not so much Colorado State, who had the gaudy record for most of the year, but not many wins of significance right here. And then you have Michigan, who seems to be constantly flipping the on again, the off switch. You could say they were even slapping it back and forth, but yeah, this would be one of their on games right here. And I'm going to say Michigan pulls, I'm not even going to really call it an upset here. It may be more of a seeding thing right here. Longwood, they've had a nice double. I don't think they're going to be as well prepared for a defensive-oriented team like Rick Barnes right here. So I'll say the Vols move on.
I like the Longwood upset. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm on the Longwood really? Bandwagon. Oh. But
that would be the biggest 3-14 upset in history.
And it would be huge.
Includes Bucknell, Kansas. I don't know.
That Bucknell team was good. This Longwood team, I can't believe they got a 14.
Lost once in conference. They are one of the hottest teams heading into the tournament, and they find a way to win close games. If this game is close, I just have a feeling, and maybe I'm completely wrong. Maybe they'll get blown out. But Sleeka, why don't you finish up Michigan, Tennessee?
And then we get back to the off again game for Michigan right here in Tennessee. I'm going to go with the Vols again.
If Longwood beats Tennessee, I would have them over Michigan. Story in college basketball history.
You may not be able to see it right here, but there's Longwood in my Sweet 16.
Chad's going to break the casino.
Chad, do you not trust Rick Barnes in the tournament?
I'm sorry, Zach. Griggs, I go to you for Pittsburgh here. First of all, Ohio State Loyola, which is a fascinating game. Can the Buckeyes really beat Sister Jean? And then Villanova Delaware also had a winner out of that.
Okay, we'll start with that one because Villanova is just going to, again, it will be over, I think, by the under 12 timeout. So Delaware's had a great year. They had a great run in the tournament. Nova is a Final Four caliber team. As far as this game goes, Ohio State, there were times this year I liked them, but overall, I just don't feel it. I think Loyola gets this one. For the third straight NCAA tournament, Loyola is going beyond the round of 64.
Do you think they'd be Villanova also?
No.
Okay. Zach, if this is our Sweet 16 here, Arizona, Illinois, Tennessee, Villanova, top four seeds, where would you go? The semifinals and the regional final.
With apologies to the Wildcats on here, I think the revenge for 2005, you know what? No, I'm as much as I'd like to pick the revenge for 2005 and go with Arizona here. I think Illinois might be on a bit of a mission given how things ended for them last year in the tournament. I'm going to go with the Illini in that game. I think it would be an incredible game. That's it's tough because I love this Arizona team. If Illinois can get this far through some of the, you know, getting through a Houston or a UAB. I think they have enough to handle Arizona. It's going to be really hard, though. I just wanted to not go full chalk also. As for the other game, Chad, if you were impressed by Longwood's run in their tournament, you should have really seen Tennessee's. I think Tennessee will take out Villanova. I think that's a team firing on all cylinders. As much as I love to, some would say, joke about Rick Barnes, I prefer to think of it as accurately describing him. I think this Tennessee team is for real, and I think they're going to the Final Four. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna go with Tennessee in the Final Four, and when it doesn't happen, I'll have no one to blame but myself for believing in Rick Barnes. Okay. But I'm gonna give him a chance here.
There's our projected Final Four: Gonzaga, Kentucky, Tennessee, Kansas. I know there's a couple Arizona alums that are not that thrilled by those choices. Let's go one game at a time here. Joby, let me start with you. Gonzaga, Kentucky. Who would you take in that national semifinal?
This is an outstanding. Can you imagine Tashibe Wade with Holmgren and Drew Timmy? I mean, this is freaking awesome. I would love this game. Gonzaga, it's yep. Gonzaga seems to have it all in a lot of ways, but Kentucky might be that team that is now hitting on those cylinders. And what I like about Kentucky more than anything else, as much as we want to talk about the talent, as much as we want to talk about Calipari, it's that what I see them doing right now is playing the defense the way Calipari likes it. And I think their defense, and believe it or not, as a tactician, Calipari will be ready for what Gonzaga has to offer. People underrate him on that component. I think that they will be able to keep Gonzaga in check, and there are not many teams who can because of the dual threat that Gonzaga gives with height. Kentucky has the height to match it, and maybe that's when they actually nail 3 3-pointers or more in a game as opposed to 2.
Kentucky in the national championship game. Dorman, I know you don't like the idea of it being Tennessee, Kansas, and not Arizona, Kansas, but if it is this way, where would you go?
If it is this way, I agree with Zach. Tennessee is championship good. I have never really been enamored all year with Kansas. I think they have plenty of deficiencies and run hot and cold. I would pick the Vols here to play for the title.
It just means more. It's just
Tytel. If we end up with this all SEC game, a game we just saw,
we're starting over. We did it wrong.
Well, the good news is the SEC will definitely not be overly gloating about this. If this happens, they'll be very humble.
Tytel, what would you take in a Kentucky Tennessee game? We just saw the game a few nights ago.
So I would look at two different things in this game. One, I would say it's very hard to evaluate Kentucky this year only because it's so unlike a John Calipari team from the past decade plus, because he only starts one freshman in Ty Washington. He's got a bunch of juniors and a senior in Kellen Grady, and I just don't know how it's going to work for him this month because we've never seen him coach a team like this. That being said, my stat for Rick Barnes is that he's been in 25 NCAA tournaments in the past and won a total of 24 games. So there is no way he's beating John Calipari if this comes out. So if you can't give me Wildcats or any of the other Wildcats, I'll go with these Wildcats.
Well, there you have it, everybody.
Bet comes home, Tytel. Your prop bet comes home. Does a Wildcat, whether it be Arizona, Villanova, Kentucky.
Or Davidson.
Or Davidson.
There you have it. I don't think it's quite on the screen. I'll try to get as much of it on the screen as we can. There is our projected field. You can rewind and watch some of the podcasts again if you want to review some of these matchups. But I want to run through each of you. I'll leave this up here, but I want to run through each of you the question of not necessarily who you would pick in this bracket, but who you actually really think is going to be the Final Four and national champion in your own personal bracket. So forget what we did tonight. Dorman, let me start with you. Who do you think is your Final Four and the national champion this year?
My Final Four is Arizona in the South, Auburn in the Midwest, Purdue in the East, and a little bit of a surprise, Arkansas in the West. My Arizona Wildcats bring home the title, first since 1997.
Bam! Tytel, I know you love that. Let me go to you next. Are you with them?
I think I'm going to get a lot of Wildcats in there. I think the Zags are for real. And even though Duke has the Coach K retirement factor in going for them, I think the Zags make it out of the West. I'm not sold on Baylor because Chama Chachua has been injured, is out for the year, and LJ Carr has been hurt for most of the past month. So I think that I'm going to go with another Wildcat here in Kentucky. Although, again, I really don't know how to evaluate this kind of team. I'll go with my Wildcats out of the South region, but I'm telling you, like, even though they won handily without Kirk Creasa, if he's hurt for the entire month, I'm getting off of that team because he's a big part of it. And then even though Auburn is having a great season and I like the idea of how their pieces match up, Kansas just seemed to put the cherry on top by winning one of the hardest conferences to win in college basketball. So I got Kansas and Kentucky and Arizona and the Zags. And I just think Mark Few's been knocking on the door for a lot of years. I think the St. Mary's loss woke his team up. They look great in the conference tourney. Chet Holmgren seems like a lottery pick. Drew Timmy seems like he's playing well. So I got the Zags.
Over Arizona in the finals?
Yeah, just for the nice symmetry of the master and the pupil and the teacher and the apprentice and the student and everything.
I think you must have glanced at my bracket when I flashed up on the screen. You have the exact same Final Four and exact same champion that I have, Tytel. We are on the same page on this. Joby, what do you think?
I do have the Zags. I think Mark Few will once again, you know, burst through. And all these people say, oh, Gonzaga. I'm glad that that stupid narrative of Gonzaga falling out too early is just dead, completely dead.
It's still there. They've been the national runner-up twice. They've been the multiple Final Fours, and people will still say, well, they always go out early. How early is early?
Jeez. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I think one of the most underrated and balanced teams in the country, and I mentioned this when Stalica picked against them in like the first or second round, I think Purdue is
good job, Stalica.
And this is a guy who likes Kentucky. I mean, I like Purdue, and I agree with you that Baylor is the one that doesn't make it, and Kentucky or Purdue's it. I think Purdue's that guy with the height and the balance. I like Purdue's team. I really do. On top of that, on the top end, sorry, Jay Wright, Villanova, the wrong Wildcat there, but for my Arizona fans, that's Jay Wright knows how to coach in this tournament. And I think he makes it all the way to the finals by beating, yes, Dorman's right, Kansas has a pretty good pathway to get there. So I think Villanova or Kansas in one. The other, well, people are going to be bitching about Mark Few because I like Boiler Up. I think Boiler Up makes the finals against Villanova and wins it all.
Boiler Up wins it all. Wow. We knocked them out of the first round or the second round or whatever we did. Zach, what do you think?
Well, actually, we ended up with the same Final Four I've got, although I have it going a little differently. I do have Gonzaga, Kentucky in an absolute heavyweight matchup. By the way, you know how some years you're not sure which is going to be the early game at the Final Four? Should that come to pass, that will absolutely be the late game. You can just write that one in pen now. That will be the primetime game. And I have Tennessee, Kansas on the other side, but I have Kansas actually coming out on top in that. And I have Gonzaga finally gotten over the hump, defeating Kansas in the national championship game.
Stalica.
I'm thinking the curse of Joe Barry Carroll is a real thing. Purdue has not been to the Final Four since 1980. Now, as far as an all-SEC final, Sister Jean and Loyola will make sure that does not happen, because I think they also go to the Elite Eight with upsets over Villanova and Tennessee.
Whoa.
Now, as far as the rest of the field, I think that clears the way for Arizona to get to the Final Four. I think Gonzaga and Kentucky will end up making it, and I know this is going to piss Matt off, but I'm taking Wisconsin to come out of the Midwest to go to the Final Four.
And your champion?
If I had to take a champion out of this crew, I'm going to go Kentucky.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say like Arkansas team they didn't even have in your Final Four. That'd be a Griggs type move. Griggs, let me let you go next.
I thought you were going to say the real champion, the fans.
Yeah, well, you're all wrong, because you never, ever, ever pick against a seventh-seeded Michigan State team before the Final Four. I think they get hot. I think they knock off a questionable Duke team. They somehow gut it out against Texas Tech and get to the Elite Eight. And I shouldn't pick them to beat Gonzaga, because that's just ridiculous. Not even I can go with a seventh-seeded Michigan State team over Gonzaga. But I do think they get several rounds into it. I have Kentucky out of the South. In the Midwest, I have Kansas, but I also think that that bracket is going to collapse in the road. I think South Dakota State does beat Iowa, and you know the road that Kansas takes to get there isn't quite as rough. And so I have them in the Final Four against Arizona, and then I have Kentucky over Arizona.
Kentucky over Arizona in the championship game. Well, that's it, everybody, on that. We do have one other key piece of business to deal with today.
Very key, yes. For the next hour and a half, this is what we're going to do.
We announce every year our own field. It's the AC8. And yes, we are going to do it again. Now, I want to go back, though. All season, during the Under the Radar especially, we've been talking about one of our favorite new conferences, the Beehive Conference.
Yes.
This BYU won it this year after Utah Valley suffered a big loss to Dixie State down the stretch. And as a result, they captured the old bucket, the champion of the Utah State Conference. Now, this year's AC8, we looked at the old, I looked at the old ochre bucket, and I realized that we needed something for the AC8. So, ladies and gentlemen, here it is. The champion of the OC8, the old AC8 bucket.
It's beautiful.
You got to make sure to stir that every hour. Otherwise, you start to get mosquito larvae issue.
If you win, you have to take it. You cannot leave it. We don't want it. Let's go to the actual field. It's the ACA tournament. So, of course, we have 9 teams plus a MEAC bonus game. If you remember, way back, the MEAC used to have 2 teams that were transitioning after D1. They had a bonus game where those 2 teams would play each other during the conference tournament to participate. We love the MEAC bonus game.
It's So we've included it in our field.
Let's start with our top team. And I should come as no surprise. Carver Bible.
Carver Bible gets selected. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, so they had a very good season here. I mean, look at that record. 0-24. You know, just a few losses. A few non-D1 losses. But, you know, Carver Bible, they couldn't make the NCAA tournament. They're in the AC8. Now we've got a bunch
lost of at, they lost to life. Go back. They failed at life.
We've got a few. We've got regions here for everything else. Got to have regions. We got the get out of my conference region. Now this should be no surprise.
I called this.
Yeah.
James Madison and Stony Brook thrown out of their conference tournaments. They deserve AC8 bids. They're coming to the AC8. Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah. You know, we got to do things right by them. We also have the Front Range versus Beehive region.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The problem was we had a tie at the top of the Front Range. Colorado State and Wyoming had the same identical records. They split head-to-head each other, both winning by 6 points. We can't even go to the aggregate, so they're both going to play in one of the games together, jointly. They, of course, are going to go
Wyoming
up against...
Maybe Wyoming will be available sooner rather than later.
They're, of course, going to go up against that BYU team we just mentioned as our Beehive champion. Our next region, of course, we have our Centenary Award and our Stallings Award.
Oh.
Those teams are always, always invited to the AC8.
Yes.
Delaware State, the worst team in D1, won our Centenary Award. Oregon State, the worst power conference team. I think Delaware State's got a shot in this game.
Yeah, I think they do. Oregon State is really, really bad.
Our last conference.
My God, where'd it go? Where'd it go?
Here it is. It's the best rivalry region.
Oh, yes.
Of course, we've got to go head-to-head here between the Wynwood Cup.
Yes.
And they, of course, Sleek Art Phil, go against one of your favorite rivalries, the Nokoiwu Cup. I mean, who's going to win this? This is a real tough one to handicap.
Honestly, I thought this was going to be a close one between the Nokoiwu Cup as well as the Purple Rain matchup, which debuted on Saturday.
The Purple Rain matchup, we got to get that one going. Yeah, that's Niagara and Hawaii in the Purple Rain matchup, you know. Purple Rain, Purple Rain. Okay.
I just want a point of procedure here. It's a real tough break for the Hartford Hawks. Worse than not being in the tournament this year, that they weren't in the get out of my conference region, given that they have kicked themselves out of Division One and been kicked out of America East next year. That is a real tough break for Howie the Hawk.
Chicago State also.
Our MEAC bonus game. I don't think there's any doubt that this is what it should be. It's what everyone wants to see one more time. It's a fight to the finish. It is, of course, the Wagner families versus the Bryant students, round 2.
A fight to the death.
On that note,
that's the bonus game.
That's the bonus game.
That's the lead into the championship game.
You want to check out the bracket? It's going to be up there sometime tonight. Let's go to any final thoughts, though.
We don't have a location yet, do we? We need to start working on that.
Well, that might be a problem. We're going to look into that.
We have an oil tanker floating off the coast of New Jersey.
Yeah.
Final thoughts, Dorman, let me start with you.
As much as I like to complain and argue, I really don't have much to complain about with the committee this year, shockingly. I always have a few teams that I really just didn't deserve it and a few teams on the seed lines that really got screwed. I really thought the committee did an excellent job this year. They got basically everything right. And there's some complaints about Texas A&M. Besides that, I don't really see much. Can't wait for Thursday. Let's get this going.
Thursday, Wednesday, Notre Dame, Rutgers. Right, come on.
Tuesday, come on. Tomorrow.
Come on. Who cares about tomorrow? Salika.
Well, a couple things. Since we don't have the Sunday championship week video notebook, we didn't get to go into much detail about Richmond getting their last second win against Davidson to steal a bid from, of all teams, Dayton, which was discussed earlier. Unfortunately for the Flyers, even though they are the number one overall seed in the NIT, they're actually going to be on the road for the first two rounds, because in round one, they got the first four games in Dayton. And for the second round, they actually have the Ohio High School boys tournaments being played at UD Arena. So a little bit of an unfortunate break for the Flyers here. But if they do finally get that home game, will they get a dispirited Xavier team, or could they possibly get Tim Kloos's Iona team in one more game at the arena this year?
Jovia, speaking of teams that shouldn't have gotten a home game in the NIT, but are, your Virginia Cavaliers are getting one against Mississippi State, who's undergoing renovations to their arena. But your final thoughts?
We should have been higher seated. The J&G had Virginia higher seated than Mississippi State anyway, so that's fine. We'll be going against a coachless team, so that's always appreciated from Virginia's perspective. You want to know the seeding rules and conspiracy theories and all this when you're talking about seeding. I, ladies and gentlemen, introduce you to Bubba Cunningham. He is the North Carolina AD and was on the selection committee. He, by far and away, was the best advocate for his conference. Because if you look at, let's take Bracket Matrix as the example. Bracket Matrix as a group said, Duke's a 3 seed. Nope, they got a 2. Bracket Matrix said North Carolina, Bubba Cunningham's North Carolina was a 9. No, they're an 8. Well, Miami's an 11. No, they're a 10. Bracket Matrix had Virginia Tech squeezed in kind of as a 12-11. No, they're solidly 11. They were well inside on the seed line. And then finally, Notre Dame was out. No, they're not. An extra paycheck for all ACC teams. Thank you, Bubba Cunningham. You are so much better than that joker at Iowa State who actually had his team 2 seeds below the bracket matrix and TCU 2 seeds below there. I will take Bubba Cunningham's lobbying skills over the Iowa State athletic directors any day of the week.
Give Bernadette McGlade an honorable mention for at least getting Dayton to the table before Richmond knocked him out.
Why the A-10 had 2 teams even fought? It's amazing.
Zach, any final thoughts from you?
Just that, you know, it's the most fun time of the year, and this especially, this is basically our first quote-unquote normal tournament in 3 years, given that obviously 2020 we didn't have a tournament due to the pandemic, but also last year we had the whole All-Indiana tournament experience with, you know, limited fans, if any. I think it's going to be awesome to see, you know, the tournament spread all around the country, you know, getting all the fans in the buildings, and it's hopefully a little slice of normalcy coming back. And hopefully we get a slice of normalcy that includes Duke hilariously losing a 15-2 game. But even if we don't get that, it's nice to see at least, you know, that it's really the national tournament that's supposed to be is back. And I can't wait. And it's also the best week of the year when you have to figure out what channel True TV is on your television.
246, DirecTV.
1220.
I watch Impractical Jokers every night. I don't know about you. Tytel.
That's the funniest thing you said all show, Chad. I actually have 2 follow-ups for things that Zach said. Number one, as excited as everybody is for Arizona, I've seen a lot of people picking them to win it all. As he mentioned, if you think that people will forget the previous time against Illinois, not from when we beat them several months ago, but when we lost to them many, many years ago, I remember the bar I was in, where I was sitting in the bar, and it was 17 years ago. Like, that is going to freak my Cats fans out. As far as the rest of Arizona, I can't be more excited to go to an NCAA tournament for the first time in several years. As Zach said, we haven't had one in a few years that people can go to. And I will try to bring you a bunch of good coverage and stories and behind the scenes stuff from San Diego. I fly out Wednesday morning and I am super psyched.
All right. Griggs, you want to finish us off for the night?
I was just kind of surprised that Dayton was one slot away from making the NCAA tournament, and what a crazy first four that would have been had Wright State and Dayton both been there. Because it just would have been such an interesting dynamic, because those are two teams that normally don't play. There's a little bit of a push locally to get them to, but they have it and they probably won't anytime soon. So how funny would it have been to see them at the same tournament site in the city where they're both located? But as far as Dayton, this team just can't catch a break. They have a top five team and the tournament gets canceled. They're inside the field, but then they lose to Richmond. Had they win that game, they go in. And then Richmond basically knocks them out of the A-10 one day and knocks them out of the NCAA the next. Good Lord, when is some sunshine going to shine on this team?
Given that they're all freshmen on the team, I think that maybe next year, actually. Yeah. But yeah.
They live in Dayton. They're located in Dayton. They just can't catch a break.
David brings up a good point. Imagine if we had the Wright State, Dayton, and Bryant fans in the building on the same night.
Yeah. On that note, though, we will be back next week with a recap of the first two rounds and a preview of the Sweet 16. But on behalf of David Dorman and David Griggs up here, Joby Forts in the center square, John Titel and John Sleek at his sides, black box that is Zach in some type of bunker on the bottom, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again next week.